Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Nazareth Chamber of Commerce was chomping at the bit. They had two or three different storefronts that they wanted to show Jesus. It was exciting to think about the healing and education center that would then draw in crowds from all over the region. The economic boom to the town as inns and restaurants came in, as well as the retail stores where you could buy that t-shirt that says, I came to Nazareth for a miracle and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. It was going to be great. Jesus had done already all the pump priming needed as he was coming home from being on the River Jordan. Now it was just getting him into the location, putting up a few handbills around the region. Then the rest, the crowds, the money would come all on its own. The Nazareth Chamber of Commerce was chomping at the bit. You see, we begin our gospel reading today actually exactly where we left off last week. Jesus is in Nazareth where he grew up. He was in the synagogue on Sabbath. Our opening line from the reading today is Jesus' proleptic announcement that his ministry, that the efforts to bring good news, to proclaim release and freedom, to give sight to the blind, that this was already accomplished, though it hadn't completely happened yet. So today in our gospel reading, Jesus is still there. He's teaching the congregation and they all speak well of him. But then someone in the crowd brings it all back home. Is not this Joseph's son? We know this guy. Now for some, that's exactly why they are excited. They know Jesus and they think that he's going to stay right there with his family and with his friends. They heard what he had done already and now they were excited. But then there are those who think, we've watched this kid grow up. He's nothing special. Do you really think that he can do anything but pound nails? Some want to stake the future of Nazareth on him, while others want to ignore him altogether. They were amazed, but they were also troubled, leading some of them to want to literally drive him off a cliff. And so to these provincial ideas of a revitalized Nazareth or an ignored Jesus, the real Jesus has other ideas. He knows that there are some there at home that want him to do miracles there and only there. They want him to help people that they all know. But he also knows that his fame infuriates others who would love to be rid of him altogether. But all of that focus is just there in his hometown. It is provincial, parochial, insular, and just for there. But Jesus' ministry is instead universal. Catholic with that small c like we use in the Apostles' Creed, it is unbound by geography or anything else. Jesus is looking both at Nazareth and at the rest of the world. God's love is not limited or exclusive. It reaches far and wide to all. And we get to be part of that kingdom as children of God. Jesus takes time to remind the crowds of the widows and lepers in the Hebrew scripture that aren't Jewish, they're foreign, and yet God's grace and mercy, God's love falls on them. Jesus is reminding those crowds and all of us of the needs that are close by to them that maybe aren't being met. He knows that there are some who want him, Jesus, to do that for them, right? They want Jesus to aid the widows and the lepers, the lame and the blind, because they're either too afraid or they can't see a way that they can help. Jesus is calling them to try. Jesus also reminds them that life as God's people is all about love and not about borrowed fame. Some storefront healing center may sound great, but Jesus is trying to inspire them. He's trying to inspire us to become the body of Christ, to work together to make whatever difference we can in the lives of those left out or lost. Jesus is calling them all to love God and to love their neighbor. Now, this is the kind of love that Paul is talking about in the reading we had from Corinthians. For the last few weeks, we've heard Paul talk about gifts given by God for the common good. He talked about our joining together as the body of Christ. We are urged by Paul to try to use our gifts alongside the gifts of our sisters and brothers, strangers and neighbors, so that we might all become a blessing to others. Sometimes that blessing is for widows or lepers, for the blind and the lame. It's for the cast out, the left beside, or the lost. Sometimes we gather together to proclaim the good news, to give thanks and praise, to help clothe or feed, to give comfort and support. For Paul, all of this happens because of the greatest gift, love. Agape is the Greek word, the love of God. Now, typically, we hear 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings, and so we can get the idea that it's about romantic love, that emotion that can take your breath away sometimes. But there are countless romance novels that assure us that the emotion we feel is anything but patient, and it can be downright rude. Paul in Corinthians is talking about something completely different. Paul is describing what Jesus is living. Paul is urging us to lives that reflect the love that Jesus shows us, because that love is patient and kind. It is not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. This love that both Jesus and Paul are striving to instill in us is active, unconditional, and it's a sacrificial moment that bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. In his life and ministry, Jesus shows us these truths. In his suffering and dying, Jesus shows us these truths. In his rising and being among us at table and at font, Jesus shows us these truths. We too might like to rest on all of the amazing things that Jesus has already done and will continue to do by the Holy Spirit. We might just like to be the Nazareth Chamber of Commerce, looking for ways to capitalize on what has already been done. But we are the body of Christ. We might see ourselves and the world as if in a darkened mirror, out of focus and hard to determine. But we are fully known by God, fully loved by Jesus, and called to love our neighbors, the family and friends and the widows and the lepers. The crowd at Nazareth appeared to want Jesus to stick around and make all of them famous, or else leave, even if leaving meant in a box. But Jesus knew that his ministry was for all, for his neighbors in Nazareth, and for you and me, separated by miles and years. We are, all of us, loved with a love that inspires our faith and gives us hope. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.